You are listening to Believe, Strive, Achieve, Endurance Podcast with Diogo Custodio. If this is your first time listening, then thanks so much for coming. Get ready and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe, Strive, Achieve podcast. I'm Alan Ward, one of the coaches, and today I have the fortune of being joined by my colleague and coach, Will Monday.
Hi, how are you doing, Alan?
Good, thanks, Will. I'm currently enjoying a lot of visualization of swimming because of the weather.
Yeah, it's pretty damp out there, and let's get this wrapped up so we can both get to watching the exciting stage of the Tour de France today.
Yeah, well, I think pretty safe. Spoilers. obviously it's been a couple of weeks since we've caught up, so maybe what's happened with you in the last couple of weeks?
Since we last spoke, did we catch up before I raced, or was it just after I last raced? I can't remember now, but anyway, I did 70.3 staffs, and then after that, well, basically the same day, Hannah, my partner, crashed her bike during a different race and had a broken collarbone. So the first 2 weeks since that, I've been kind of full-time carer, part-time triathlete. The kind of the last couple of weeks have been a bit better, and she's been able to do a bit more for herself, and I've been able to get my teeth stuck into some decent training, and 2 days away now from the next race, which is 70.3 Swansea, which is a home race for me. Should be pretty prepared with like local knowledge, if I'm not so prepared physically. Ready to give it a good crack. Hopefully the weather improves. As you touched on, it's not so great today.
Well, I think the opposite. I think ideally for you, the weather gets worse, to the point at which it's on the bubble of the race being cancelled.
I guess to some degree, because I know the course by the back of my hand. But there are some pretty sketchy parts which even I wouldn't be too comfortable with in the wet. So ideal circumstance would be that it dries up for the bike course and then it starts raining for the run. I think everyone would be pretty happy with that.
We shall see. So and then I guess for myself a little bit, like kind of moving house. I've been on a holiday, went to Madeira, that was nice. Not much training though. So, but what you were saying about with Hannah and her experience, it's not really, I think it kind of leads nicely into something I've been thinking about. It's come up with some other coaches that I'm in sort of a peer support group or development group, if you like. There's a question in there around like, training stress, but also like life stress. And your example that you've given there over the last couple of weeks is really useful, because it's the question is, so using your experience as an example, the question for today is, so if you did a 2x20-minute sweet spot session, pretty standard session, a lot of people have done it. If you did that the week before, Hannah did a shoulder in, and then you did it the week after, which is obviously pretty, that's quite a big life event, isn't it? Broken bones. And you obviously turned into full-time carer, full-time hair assistant, full-time, everything, because not having one arm is pretty challenging, and part-time athlete. And then you did 2x20 minutes that week. What, physiologically, and I guess psychologically as well, what would your actual response and adaptation from that session be? Would they be the same?
I guess the short answer to that is no, and we'll kind of touch on why that is. Prior to the crash, my responsibilities were a lot less, like the house chores were split 50-50 in I say that, had I obviously did a lot more than that. So yeah, had a lot less like.
I was about to say, would Hannah agree with this?
100% not. So let's say it went from like 80-20 to in Hannah's favour into 100% my swing. So just in that instance, like I've got a lot more on my plate without even having to factor in looking after Hannah, trying to get my own training done, and then recovering from that. So yeah,
it's not just that either, is it? It's like the psychological load, because
yeah, definitely
it's pretty stressful having a significant other who, you know, you obviously care about being in quite a traumatic experience. That's really stressful. So you know, it like, as I say, this question's kind of about you, if you like, or somebody else in a similar situation. Like, there's lots of other examples out there. Like, moving house is a big thing. Like, even just an argument in a relationship on one day, or like the breakdown of a relationship, or, you know, really extreme, like a family bereavement, or you're starting a new job could be one. Like, that's a big positive, but it's, you know, your first day at work could be quite stressful.
Yeah.
And the other end of the spectrum, like losing your job. Or, you know, there's lots of other examples of these things, but they're all really good examples of stress outside of training. It can be positive, can be negative, can be kind of just daily stuff in the middle. Like you say, chores, you know, around the house are a really good example. But I think before we go into that, it'd be really good to explore like stress response with training, because in order to answer that question, how are you going to respond differently? We need to have a little think about how you respond normally. So what can you tell us about that, Will?
Yeah, so in the most like simple way of explaining it, training is essentially putting a stress on your body through either like intensity or volume or a combination of both. And then you recover from that, adapt, and then you put a bit more additional stress on that by either increasing intensity or volume to the same training. So it might be, for instance, that you do 20 100s in the pool, aiming to hit 130 pace if that's kind of around your threshold. And you may do those off like 2 minutes rest, off 2 minutes, so you get around 30 seconds recovery. And then you kind of do that session maybe once or twice, and then the adaption would be you either increase the amount of reps that you do, or you try and swim them a bit quicker than the 130 pace. And then like I think most of us are fairly well, obviously you and I are, but I'm making a broad assumption here that it's probably well known that most training softwares now have kind of ways you can measure that, providing your zones are set accurately through CTL, ATL and TSB. So chronic training load, acute training load and training stress balance. But kind of the downfall of kind of using those to manage stress is that they don't really account for kind of life events and life stress. How do we account for that really?
They also don't account for intensity, so you can have the IL as well in other platforms, so chronic intensity load.
Mm-hmm.
But to almost go back a step, they all those systems also overlook the physiology.
Mm-hmm.
So as a coach, you're looking at what are the demands of the event, like what physiological system, what energy system are you going to be training? So like the easiest example of that is anaerobic and aerobic. So anaerobic without or aerobic with oxygen, and then there's lots of little points in between those in terms of differing energy systems, and then you need to stimulate the energy systems that you're going to use. So you know, if you want to do an aerobic event, you need to do aerobic training, and then the response to that would be potentially more capillaries in around the muscles that you're actively using to get more oxygen to them. But in order to to get that response, to get that adaptation, as you say, well, you need energy to make those adaptations. Like if you want to get stronger, then you need to recruit and grow kind of cross-sectional area and number of fibers, of muscle fibers, so that you need to actively switch on muscle fibers and then develop and potentially transition some muscle fiber types in order to get stronger. But that's really important, because like sometimes with training, more and more what actually people do in training is they just get tired and they don't necessarily adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why coaches are always talking about rest days or rest weeks or easy periods or easy training or polarization of training between easy days and hard days or easy sessions and hard sessions. It's really important that you have that energy to respond. For certain sports which require a really high amount of load, CTL, just pure volume, can work quite well as an indicator. But for like criterium racing on a bicycle, it's not really that useful. As you know, I mean, it can detract. Like the best example I can think of with that is that, like, so track cycling, where you're doing a 2 minute effort, and FTP, your FTP is irrelevant.
Yeah, I think we can all get kind of a bit obsessed with the numbers, but yeah, at the end of the day, that is all it is, isn't it? And you kind of got to manage the training towards the individual and the event they're trying to do. So, as you say, making sure they're well adapted to the demands of their particular event that they're training for.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of used the sweet spot example with yourself. But I guess it depends on how quick you are with a middle distance triathlon or a half Ironman or 70.3, whichever version of events you want to call it. For a lot of people, sweet spot is going to be kind of a specific race intensity. Obviously, at your end of the spectrum being quicker, that might not quite be true. And obviously, at the slower end of the spectrum, you know, an athlete taking, or obviously on a slow course, taking longer, it might change the intensity of the race as well. So that is kind of a specific session for yourself. And what kind of adaptation from that session might you be looking for?
So just kind of from the sweet spot session, you're kind of looking at... depending on if it's kind of looking at extensive or intensive style of session, you're either kind of looking at drawing out the time you can spend at kind of sub threshold intensity, or kind of driving up sort of threshold. But if you're looking at it as a kind of race demand session, like leading into an event, you're just kind of looking to spend time around race intensity and just being comfortable with that sort of effort, so to speak. Also just depends on like the course as well, the course demands, and like not every race you're just going to kind of sit at one intensity for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, depending on.
It would have to be a pretty flat course.
Yeah, exactly. So if you kind of factor in like Swansea this weekend, where it's going to be kind of up and down, you've kind of got a bit of like a polarized effort where you may be kind of, well, for me anyway, going slightly above threshold on some of the shorter climbs, at threshold on some of the longer climbs, and then kind of that sweet spot section maybe into like the headwind flat sections, and then maybe a bit of a lower intensity than that on like the faster section. So yeah, it's not even necessarily just about like one particular block at a certain intensity. It's about mixing it up and making sure you're well prepared, kind of went on a bit of a tangent there, but
But it's a useful answer to explore, like, how we approach it as coaches. Because so, like, for you, this weekend, a more useful session would be like over unders.
Yeah.
Where you're going over threshold, under threshold, over threshold, under threshold, and you're able to shuttle what you need to shuttle in your body in order to get your metabolize those anaerobic bits and recover any oxygen deficit that you're in and start to recoup those anaerobic energy supplies so that you can go over threshold again. Like, your ability to do that quickly and effectively is really important. And obviously, like, when we're setting training, you're looking at different sessions at different responses. And you have to, in order to stimulate progress in an athlete, you do need to be specific with an athlete's strengths and weaknesses within their physiology, and also their strengths and weaknesses within their event, but also a little bit of diversity in that as well. So that you, because if, you know, if I ask you to do over-unders for the next 14 weeks every Tuesday, you're going to stop responding to that after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've adapted as much as you can to it, and we need to vary things. And that's kind of one of the sort of bits of coaching with regards to how you plan and periodize an athlete's training over a season. So, like, using Will as an example again, it might be really high intensity efforts earlier in the year to boost his anaerobic system. And then he's getting more aerobic and more towards over-unders and sweet spot type work before you get to a race. But how you adapt to those might be, you know, you need the energy to adapt to them, and then you need it to be stimulating to adapt to them, and you need it to be specific to what you're trying to do. So that's kind of a bit of a general chit chat, if you like, around stress response training and some of the things that we think about. Going back to the question for today, so taking that sweet spot example, the question that I'm going to put to Will here is, should you have adjusted your training session, those 2x20-minute sweet spots, should it have been different between those 2 weeks because of the life stress?
Yes, for that particular circumstance, I would say, yeah, it should be different. There's only a certain amount of stress you can really tolerate before you kind of start overreaching, or just kind of filling the glass too much, so to speak, to use your analogy, which we can delve into a bit later. But yeah, like, ultimately, the way that I respond is going to be different versus being kind of fresh and having very minimal stress in my life versus having a high stress situation.
I think it's really important this stage to say as well, crosses my mind how this could be construed. So adjusting your training for that session does not necessarily mean that you should not do the session. That's not the conclusion to take from this. Okay, so going back a little step, we talked about CTL, etc., which comes from training stress score, which is and, you know, the idea with TSS is that you accrue a certain amount of points depending on how stressful the session is. And that score, when tracked over time, can calculate your chronic training load, your acute training load, and your training stress balance, right? And that, by having those reference points, we can get a guide as to where an athlete is at with their load. Like, it's better at measuring aerobic load than it is anaerobic load to some degree. So for Ironman, it's pretty strong, but for other things, it's not so strong. But the idea is, if you go flat stick as hard as you can possibly go for an hour, that's 100 points. Aerobic, nice easy work, is going to be maybe 40 plus or minus a bit. And this is all calculated based on training zones. So your training zones need to be updated. So if you're at your maximal effort, your FTP for 60 minutes, that's going to give you 100 points, give or take. There's a bit more detail to it than that, but approximately that's what it's going to be. So with these numbers, you can work things out, and that's really good for your training. But Will did this sweet spot session. We're going to say it was an hour and a half, and it was like 93 TSS. But unfortunately, the day that he did it, he had to take the bins out, he had to walk the dog, he had to do the dishes, he had to make breakfast, he had to do the laundry, and all these other chores that he had to do. And he also had to take Hannah to hospital for an x-ray, and he also had to do his training, for just thinking about it, preparing about it, and a few phone calls, etc., at work. So, but the stress that day for Will was 96. Does that sound right to you, Will?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Only 96, because you only did training, so you know, that's the only stress that came.
Yeah, I think this, you're kind of touching on kind of the down floor with it, in that if we go back to the sweet spot session 2 weeks apart, like you say, let's say for instance that I do exactly the same session, able to kind of replicate the same powers, and you say like the TSS is TSS is 96 for both sessions. On paper, it looks exactly the same. And like, for instance, it may be possible that I could replicate that session that week with the more stress the following week, but you're not going to be able to do that for forever and for extended periods of time. And yeah, the downfall is it doesn't really account for that additional life stress that you talked about by doing all the chores and running left and right and here, there and everywhere. So yeah, what are kind of some ways that we can kind of factor in life stress into kind of assessing training and monitoring load?
I feel like I should, for the sake of balance, account for your first Tuesday, where you woke up to breakfast and bread, a bath run for you. Your kit was laid out by the turbo, ready for the session, with nice frozen bottles to keep you cool. The weather was beautiful outside. You'd slept for a solid 9.5 hours, having had a head massage the night before to send you to sleep, etc., etc. And you had your soigneur come in, give you a leg rub to warm you up, etc. Like, obviously, I'm joking, obviously. The two situations are, like, really different. So, yeah, the stimulus of the session is still that 96. But it's like, where's your head at going into that session?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you, you know, even, like, your heart rate going into the session? Is good. You know, we all talk about resting heart rate as a something that you can look at each day to work out whether you're tired or not. Like, in the 10 minutes before that session, with everything that you had going on, the same for anybody else, like say with these other situations, moving house, new job, lost the job, etc., etc., your heart rate might be up 20 beats going into the session. Or you might not have drunk as well, so you're not as hydrated. You might not have eaten as well. Or just even your stomach, because like, stress can have quite an effect on your digestive system. So your state going into the session is really key, because it's really hard to account for all of this. Well, we talk about it as LSS, or life stress score. So you got TSS, but you've also got LSS, and like I say, rest and heart rate you can look at to help look at that. There are other things as well, but for me the key is thinking about, when you start a session, what state am I in? It's a really useful way of going about things. You know, how are my legs feeling? Where is my head at? And just gauging things a bit off that. Anything else that you sort of think about, Will?
Yeah, I just guess, like, how you slept and kind of hours slept, kind of the night prior. Yeah, you can do these kind of like questionnaires daily to kind of track mood and sleep and all these different variables that you've touched on, and can kind of use those to like track over time as well.
Yeah. And then, so we're saying that you need to adjust your training with stress, but I guess the next logical question is if you've recognized, really importantly, if you've recognized that your LSS, your life stress score, is quite high and I would say abnormally high as well. We're not just talking day-to-day stress here. We're talking like something's gone on, something's happened that's really seriously stressful. What are those adaptations to training going to be? How are you going to adjust things?
I think firstly, it's really important to really stress, pun intended, the importance of the recognition. I think as endurance athletes, we kind of get a bit obsessed of like more is better and always wanting to do more, be that volume or intensity. But I think you got to have like a really like mature head on your shoulders to kind of recognize when you may need to take that step back and adjust the plan. I think ultimately that recognition is the most important step, and then the adjustments would be to almost like think of training not like training and as exercise, because some people find just like exercising as a bit of like a release and a way of kind of dealing with stress. But yeah, I think it just takes a bit of a mindset shift of like reframing from training to exercising, and you're not really focusing on like what benefit you're getting from that session physiologically, but like mentally.
Yeah.
Do you have any other ideas you kind of want to touch on?
Yeah, like as you're saying that, you said the importance of recognizing, you said about importance of reframing, and it's almost like I don't know if you've read my blog, Will, but I wrote a blog a while ago called the 3 R's, and it was recognize, reframe, and then to almost rephrase a little bit what you said there, respond. Those were my 3 R's, is to be able to gain perspective with your own training is really important. So taking a step back, recognizing what is going on, and then trying to reframe things and then trying to respond to those things is really important. Like, and that's even if you just had a bit of a session where it's a bit niggly, or you're like, oh, that wasn't great, or well, why did I bother with that sort of thing. Like an example of that is stepping back. Like we all do loads of easy 30-minute runs. Yeah. Most people who are doing triathlon have got an easy 30-minute run on their program most weeks, or similar, regardless of what distance you're doing, regardless of your ability level. But and it's kind of like, oh, what's the point in that? But the point in that is over 6 to 12 weeks, doing those consistently adds up, and it's important for frequency on your feet. But I think those 3 R's are really important with a lot of things. And so in the recognizing, absolutely agree, reframing, absolutely agree. In terms of the responding bit, I think it's just, you know, you're changing and reframing your attitude from training to exercise, like you say. And I think a big part of that is just diffusing things and actually reducing some of the pressure on yourself. So one of the ways that you might do that is to just bin your watch. Like Garmin's are stressful at the best of times. But I think, and also thinking, you know, that kind of screen time, that kind of pressure, like workout mode, absolutely not. Yes, you know, so like that sweet spot session, obviously for you, that's probably about 380 watts, right? Sweet spot. like that.
Yeah, if only.
Aiming for a number, regardless of what it is, can, you know, that becomes a real binary thing with the training of our pass, failed the session. Just don't do it to yourself. Maybe do it without data and just do it on perceived exertion, or just give yourself 20 watts. Like, you know, taking the slight ingest number of 380 watts, instead of going for 380, just if I get 350, 360, you know, I've done really well. Even if I just try the session today, I've done really well. Or even better, I would say, is get outside. None of us started riding bikes for sitting on turbo trainers. None of us. That's just, I would have an argument with anybody. And none of us, you know, those people get a spin class if, you know, that's what they like. But that's not it for everybody who rides a bike like we do. So get outside and enjoy the scenery. Go and do a route that you really like. Go and do a route with a friend. And just go, do you know what, we're going to do 2 times 20 minutes. And it might actually be the case that you work a bit harder. Yeah, you're stressed, but actually letting your hair down means just having a bit of fun. And, you know, look, what we could do the session together, for example. And actually, during the warm-up for the session, Will's had a tough week. You know, he probably needs to get off his chest that tying up hair is really hard. So you can have a rant at me about that in the warm-up, because it's nice to be able to just talk to somebody. And then, right, okay, main set's on, 2 times 20 minutes. Obviously, I would drop Will immediately. But, you know, it would be good for him and his emotion, and it's good to see your friends and socialise. Do you know what I mean? There's obviously some jest in there, but I think that kind of social bit of the session and just taking away some of the rigidity in what you're doing is key. Just to diffuse things, give yourself a bit of time, give yourself a space. Because with most things like this, you just need to weather the storm. And how you weather the storm is as important as anything else. Like, all shall pass, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, yeah. And exactly. Like, you're going to do yourself more harm than good by kind of soldiering on and, like, yeah, kind of pushing it to the back of your mind, like, as if nothing's happened. But, like, you could almost end up in a state of overtraining by not actually doing any more. If that makes sense, by just having that like additional kind of mental stress going on, but doing the same kind of training intensity and hours could almost lead to a state of overtraining, which can be quite hard to recover from and get yourself out of. So yeah, you kind of want to try and get yourself out of the hole as quickly as possible.
Yeah, the other thing that I would say as well in terms of adjusting your training if something goes on is just like try and go with the flow a bit. So if it's just like today, for example, it is absolutely lashing it down outside, and you know, say for me, for example, if I had that sweet spot session today, I haven't currently got a turbo set up. If I had to do that outside, it would just be awful. And I know I'm going to get cold, and I know that's all going to add a little bit of stress, which it increases the likelihood of me getting a little bit niggly or a little bit sick. It's going to be a bit. And I, at the moment, if I had a bit of life stress on, I wouldn't have the robustness or the resilience to deal with that extra little bit of stress. But could I deal with running for an hour in that? Do you know what? I probably could.
Yeah.
You could stay a bit warmer when you're running, and you know, you could chew, you know, don't run on the coast path, you know, but pick where you're going to run so it's a bit sheltered. Stay a bit warm, you know, like the idea of being a bit warm and wet and a bit sweaty, but, you know, at least, you know, think about that kind of aspect of the stress as well, and go with the flow. You know, or you could do a swim session, or you could do a gym session. I think if you've got something pretty severe, like, you know, like losing your job, like that's pretty severe, isn't it?
And, yeah.
And just like, how do I get through this? And your mind's all over the place. it's just like, give yourself a break with regards to the training. As a coach, that is something that I would definitely do. You know, I've definitely had athletes with these kind of situations. It's like, I get a message, is it okay if I, and I've not even read the rest of the message, and my answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always much more concerning for me in this situation as a coach if an athlete goes quiet and they just plow on, because that's kind of just, you know, sticking your head in the sand, and there's that kind of toxic relationship with sport where I need to, I must. And you always need to choose to do something, and you'd always like, you know, I'd always want athletes to like to do something and make it a really conscious choice to choose to do something. And that again is part of these three R's. That's recognizing what works well for you, recognizing what you enjoy doing, and recognizing that having some goals and structure and aims and a bit of a challenge in life is something that generally gets the best out of you overall, not just as a mobile ego.
And ultimately, we all do triathlon because we enjoy it. Even like the pros don't do triathlon just because they're good at it. They have to like enjoy it just because of the commitment to the training. But yeah, so it's not life or death. You just got to kind of like think about that. And
well, you choose to do it. It's a job, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's always a choice. We always choose to do everything. We're not forced into anything. We're not necessarily, you know, you're accountable to the people that you want to be accountable. You choose that as well. And you choose your responsibilities. Same with like kids and stuff. You choose to have children. And, you know, so these are all choices. And, you know, we just need to work with that. But anyway, three R's: recognize, reframe, respond. Any other responses to loads of stress were you training?
Was that a question?
Yeah, definitely was.
Any other responses to... Oh, you kind of caught me off guard there. Go on.
Well, we kind of said, like, just diffuse it a bit. Is the main
thing. Yeah, yeah.
And relax a bit on the data. Maybe change the environment. Go somewhere a bit nicer. Do something socially. What else?
Just, like, do what you need to do to make it fun. And... because ultimately, yeah, you do it because you enjoy it. So just try and make the process as enjoyable as possible.
Yeah, and change, you know, feel free, like lose a bit of the discipline. Don't be on the plan so much. Like, you
can
change the session, give yourself a bit of flexibility with it. And, you know, if you don't do stuff as well, that's okay too. Because that might be what you need to do, to think of it as exercise. Like, if you fancy staying on the sofa, then stay on the sofa a little bit. But, you know, don't stay there all the time, I would say, because it's important with a big lot of stress to retain some things. You don't kind of want to throw everything out, throw the kitchen sink out. You should still keep a little bit, because like, change is a difficult thing to cope with. So maintaining a thread of consistency is really useful. So you might do like 50% of your sessions, but you're still doing some to maintain that thread of consistency in your day-to-day life, even if something else has changed quite dramatically. So, yeah. Anything else from you, Will? Because I think that's about it from me on the old should you adjust your training if you're stressed out question.
No, I think we kind of covered some good points there. Yeah, and hopefully you've all found this useful. And if you kind of find yourself in a stressful situation, you can kind of refer back to the three R's.
Yeah, yeah. And you have our permission to use it as well, which I think sometimes like really useful. Just having that person to say, it's okay. You can, you know, you can just make these changes. That's all good. Okay, all right. Well, we'll wrap things up there. Final thing from me is... you know, I hope the weather plays ball and you get to have a bit of fun on Sunday, Will.
Yes, thank you. And I hear you've got an Ironman coming up, so kind of enjoy your long ride, be that in the rain or on the turbo.
It'll be in sunny France, because next week I am off out there for the Tri Training Harder Alps camp. So I'm not quite sure when this is going to be put out. So I may well be riding up a sunny mountain with any luck whilst you're listening to this one.
Perfect. Well, I guess we'll catch up when you're back from the Alps then.
Cheers, mate. Will do. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
The Believe, Strive, Achieve podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at trytrainingharder.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Try Training Harder. Thanks for listening!